In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My good Christian friends, our Lenten theme this year has been our Christian discipleship. And as we now wind it down, tonight we will have to consider discipleship and love. The place of love in our discipleship. One particular Monday, Thursday, a lady came to the church door and immediately asked me a question. Why do we call it Monday, Thursday? That's a good question. Because Monday is a very funny word. Monday comes from the Latin, mandate, which means commandment. Because on this dark and doleful Thursday, when our Lord was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, he said to them, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Now, I can't help myself, but I'm always a little skeptical of anything that advertises itself as new. The box of cereal has great big loud letters, you know, on it. New! See, and being the skeptic that I am, I have to ask, well, so what's new? Well, it's got three more raisins in it than the previous box, you know. You know, a new commandment I give you. You love one another. So, what's new? I mean, the Israelites, under the Old Covenant, weren't exactly supposed to hate each other. I mean, why? You know, love is always in the air. Now, some folks, when they go to look for what is new, they might suppose that our Lord is now giving a higher and tougher demand. Like he's saying, I'm going to give you guys now a new commandment, and this one I'm going to make really tough. See? Yeah. Now, but if that is the new, then the essence of Christianity is nothing more than extreme moral effort, resulting perhaps in the highest moral attainment. And we're right back to a religion of the law. So we have to keep looking for the new. After all, we have gathered together on Monday, Thursday, to be renewed in the new. During the Passover meal, Jesus rose from the supper. He laid aside his outer garment, took a towel, and tied it around his waist, and then he began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel. The Son of the Most High God, who bridles the deep and restrains the oceans, pours a little water into a basin and scrubs between the toes of Peter. He who is high and lifted up, enthroned upon the cherubim, takes the form of a servant, and bends the knee and washes the smelly feet of James and John, who had been arguing on the road which of them was the top dog in the kingdom. Now, this gesture of foot washing is, for want of a better word, it is a symbolic, you know, gesture. It sums up what the whole life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ has been like ever from the very beginning, from cross to cradle. It's been like this, what the foot washing puts forward. Okay? The eternal Son of God divested himself of the divine splendor. He came down from heaven. He humbled himself to be born of a virgin. He took flesh from the virgin, that is, He girded himself with the towel of our humanity. And he stooped down to wash the soiled feet of mankind. Okay. So his whole life and death is a cleansing. Now, the gift of purity, we don't think much about it, but the gift of purity is an act of God. Man cannot make himself fit for God. I mean, who of you, you know, can so order your thoughts and your passions, have such command, you know, of your desires and your thoughts, that, oh, you can make yourself fit for God. See, it is God who comes down to us to make us clean. Purity is a gift. That blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, making us fit for God. Now you all have been baptized right into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is the bath that makes us clean. So, the new commandment is not so much an external command, the kind that a mother might make to her boy when she yells at him, clean up your room. Now there's a command. And what is the boy's typical reaction? Do I have to? See, you see, the heart remains closed to the command. But the new commandment works differently. The gift of purity unleashes an interior dynamic of new life. It opens us up with love towards one another. See? Or we can sort of say it this way, I think in the new covenant, we don't always have to wait to be told, you know, with a commandment, you know. Now, you still need the commandments. It has to be hammered into us. Thou shalt not steal. You still need the commandments. But still, as we grow in Christ, we shouldn't always have to wait to be told. You see, the gift just opens us up. Now, while washing Peter's feet, he told him, right now, you don't understand what I'm doing. And then later, when Jesus had finished washing all their feet and had returned to the Passover Seder, he asked them again, do you understand what I have done to you? Duh. They usually don't understand anything Jesus says or does. It's always duh, you see. But Jesus promises a later. Later, you will understand. They will have to wait for the 40 days of the resurrection and the illuminating spirit. And then they will put it all together. And they will understand what Jesus has done for them by his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, Paul Gerhardt, that great Lutheran hymn writer, I think is someone who really understood what Jesus has done by that blood that cleanses. And what does he do? But it just opens him up, see? And so he writes this beautiful hymn. Oh, grant that nothing in my soul may dwell but thy pure love alone. Oh, may thy love possess me whole, my joy, my treasure, my crown. Oh, coldness from my heart remove, my every act, word, thought, be love. Okay. So, what is new comes from a gift. The gift of having our portion with Christ is gift of purity that cleanses the filth of our iniquity and so opens us up to love and forgive as we have been loved and forgiven, and to wash the soiled feet of others who have wronged us. In fact, our Lord said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Why, the gift has become an example without ceasing to be gift. And then also, we should remember how Peter pushed back. You'll never wash my feet. When our Lord explained that if he doesn't wash his feet, then he can have no part with him. And then Peter changed his tune. Not only my feet, but wash also my hands and my head. And the Lord clears things up. The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet. Now, what's all this about? Now, this simply reflects the ancient Palestinian custom that you would take a bath at home. And then if you go to someone's house for dinner, well, they probably will wash your feet because they got all dusty, you know, on the road. In today's terms, we might say something like, well, you take a bath, you know, at home. But then at dinner time, mother will say to the boy, you don't come to the table with dirty hands. You go wash your hands, you see. But only your hands, not a whole bath, you know, just your hands. That's sort of the idea. Now, what does this mean for the church? Only your feet need to be washed. He who is bathed does not need to wash, except for your feet. Okay. Now keep in mind, we've been baptized into the death, burial, and the resurrection. You know, that is the bath. St. Augustine, the great bishop of ancient Hippo, thought a lot about this, and he refers to it in his Holy Week, you know, homilies. He's always on this, you know, only your feet. Okay. This is what he does with it. He says, we are made interiorly clean in baptism, feet as well. But while we have to go on living here below, our feet inevitably must walk on the soil of this world in such a way that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, extend your feet, confess your sins, and do so in the confidence that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Still today in the Eucharistic assembly, Jesus is bending down to us, takes a towel and some water, he washes our feet, making us fit for table fellowship with him. My friends, extend your feet. The dust of transgression clings to our feet. Do not allow the guilt to fester in the soul, poisoning it from within. It needs to be confessed, for by confession we bring it into the light and place it within Christ's purifying love. And that opens up a man's heart to wash the soiled feet of those who have wronged us. Or do you insist on lying awake at night plotting revenge? Do you insist on nursing grudges of wrongs real and imagined? Have you forgotten how he stooped down and took cold water and a towel to your feet? In the name of Jesus, amen.